I'd rather preach anywhere on this schedule than right now. I really would. I promise you that that's the truth. But I'm going to do what my boss told me to do. Amen? To all the pastors and parents, send your young people here, your daughters and your sons. We just want to say thank you. We're honored that you trust us with trying to do our best to educate them for full-time ministry. Pastors, thank you so much. Parents, thank you so much. Thank you for your financial support. I can look everyone in the face and tell you, without that financial support, we could not educate these students at the cost that we do. We couldn't do it. The money would have to come from somewhere else. Thank you for your prayer support. The preachers that have already preached, and the preachers tonight and tomorrow, have already shared that they've been getting prayer cards. I thank the ones that have prayed for me very, very much. In order to prepare for this message, I thought it might be good if I listened to the last 5 years of the messages preached just prior to the offering. I thought that would be helpful. When I did that, it wasn't helpful at all. I listened to Brother Randolph, the former president of Heartland, and what a great message that was. And I just finished the tape and said, there's no way I can preach like that. No way. Listen to Jeff Abels. No, I can't do that. Listen to Brother Davison in the last couple of years. No, even though he called it a little speech. I can't do that either. And then I started to ask the Lord what I should preach. And He just directed me right to this word, Heartland. And just really guided me, I believe, to share with you what He has put on my heart for this school, for the young people here. So I'm not sure if it'll be a sermon, a speech, a whatever. But I'm going to share with you my heart. And I think also the heart of some other people as well. Brother Davison, I want to thank you so much for allowing me to preach this week. And thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of Heartland. Just a part of it. Let's look at some scripture if we could. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Every time I get near one of these pulpits, I get thirsty every time I come near them. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And then we'll go to Matthew chapter 5. And then we'll have prayer. You can be seated, and then we'll get started. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now to verse 10. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. Why? For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, But His will was not at all to come at this time, but He will come when He shall have convenient time. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and labor. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. They have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge them that are such. Now, to Matthew chapter 5, just two verses, and we'll pray. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them. Heavenly Father, this morning we are so thankful for what You have already done amongst us in this meeting through song and through the preaching of Your Word. Lord, we would only ask that You would do the same thing again. Lord, as I have a responsibility this morning to preach just prior to the taking of an offering, Lord, as I take that responsibility serious, would You remind each one here this morning that they have a responsibility to be responsive to the leading in their lives, even in regards to this offering and to the preaching of Your Word. Lord, I don't ask for Your help this morning. If I was to do that, dear God, then I would be pretending that I want something to do with it. Lord, I would rather have nothing to do with it, but for You to have everything to do with it. So, Lord, speak through me, and may You be heard clearly. And may You hear from us in our hearts in a very definite way. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This will more than likely, or as I can best determine, will be the last time that I will be able to speak to the graduates. I will take just a moment or two to do that. Graduates, let me just speak to you. In your yearbook, Pastor Wayne Hardy, my good friend, wrote the following to you, and I would like you to hear this. Dear graduates, he quotes Luke 22:31, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. I share the sentiment and have prayed for you, Pastor Hardy says, for you that you never become a casualty. You have just graduated from the greatest Bible college in America. That ought to get a great big amen right there. Yet your growing reputation for wisdom and honor can be erased in a moment by a little folly. He references Ecclesiastes 10:1. You have likely underestimated all that God has prepared you to do. But you must not underestimate Satan's desire to, as he quotes Proverbs 5:9, give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. He finishes with this, be on guard. Thank you, Pastor Hardy. Be on guard, graduates. I can't help but think of, in Proverbs chapter 24, I'd like to say this to the graduates. Chapter 24, verse 21. Verse 21 says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Why? For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Meddle not with them that are given to change." I quote my friend, "Be on guard, young men and ladies." As I have maybe said before several times, your finish is not here yet. You still have this message to listen to. You still have the message this evening. And I happen to know what Pastor Hardy is going to be preaching. And I want to admonish every graduate here this morning to be ready to hear from God tonight in the services. Tomorrow morning, the three men that are lined up, Brother McNair, Brother Houston, and Brother Osfeld, these men, I'm confident, have been with God and have a message for you, seniors. They have a message for you. Your learning isn't over quite yet. I also know where Brother Mitchell is going to be preaching on. He phoned me Sunday afternoon. He is very excited. I want to challenge you, seniors. Finish strong. It's not over yet. The way that you finish something is the way that you will start something. Amen? It's that simple. Be on guard. You have now been admonished to do that. And can I say on behalf of the faculty and staff, we will miss you. Young married men, we will miss you. We will miss your wives and your children. Young ladies, thank you for being ladies while you're here at Heartland. Fellas, even though we may not be your teacher at a time of a crisis, I'm very confident we'll be available if you ever need us in the future. We have a pretty ambitious goal this morning, $700,000. We honestly don't know whether the Lord will allow us to reach that or not. We don't know. God knows. Amen? God knows. The directors have been making calls for quite a while now, and many of you have responded to those phone calls. In many ways, the amount might be somewhat already determined from the communication that's come back in. But if we just kind of go take the offering now without preaching before, it's kind of like being a Calvinist. We kind of think it's already done and set. I'd rather believe that the Lord can still work on some of us. Amen? On some of us. I'd rather believe that and would rather approach it that way. In preparation for this message, I've been doing a little bit of reading about Bible colleges. I came across a few quotes of a Bible college president regarding his school encouraging others. Excuse me. It's a president of another fundamental college, an old path college, an old-fashioned Bible college. Nothing wrong with some old-fashioned every once in a while. Amen? There's nothing wrong with it. This college president said some general statements. Let me make some, and then I'd like to, because we're here at Heartland, and just take a moment, do a little bit of comparison. He says this, "Keep all this," and he's referring to boarding, lodging, clothes, books, and etc. "Keep all this at the cheapest rate." Why? Listen to what he says. "That men may not form habits they cannot afterward live up to." Isn't that a good quote?
keep all this, boarding, lodging, clothes, books, etc., at the cheapest rate. Why? That men may not form habits they cannot keep up afterward. At Heartland, we're trying to keep it cheap. Cheap. Affordable. Around $5,300 a year. That's very affordable. In order to prepare for this message and to give you just some brief statistics, we did a little bit of research. We looked at 18 other Baptist Bible colleges, 18 other independent, self-proclaimed, if you would, independent Baptist Bible colleges, and looked at their costs. I won't list them. There's no need to do that. Add up all the 18 and divide it, and you're at an average of $7,649. You know what that means? It means that on an average, compared to these 18, as best as we can determine, we're able to afford, able to provide the same education for $2,299 less. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. How do we do that? How does that happen? Well, the May offering. I'm just going to be honest with you. The May offering contributes to that. Secondly, the monthly support that comes in every month from churches just like yours contributes to that. The students' income, that's basically where they pay their bills. So let me just say it this way. The students that pay their bills contribute to that too. Amen? Almost all of them pay their bills. As a matter of fact, we've got a real good collection rate. We think integrity is something is really important to teach the students. Amen? Sure. We think that they ought to learn it now so that when they get in ministry and they start handling God's money, they're already going to have integrity down. Amen? We believe that. So we work real hard at that. We work real hard at it. The second quote from this college president, he says this. He says, this is what he says. He said, affiliate the college to a large working church. Wow. There's application here. Amen. I remember overhearing and then being involved in some conversations where, according to what I was told, the Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College directors, partially in the reasoning of choosing to come here to Oklahoma City was so that the college could come alongside a large working church, Southwest Baptist Church. Have you been there lately? It's a wonderful church. No. Southwest doesn't own, Brother Sam has made that clear time and time again, Southwest Baptist Church does not own the college. The college has come alongside of it. The church provides a wonderful practical training ground for the young people. They get some real good preaching. Amen. Oh, I know you think we're just talking about the boss. Yes, some real good preaching from Brother Davidson. But have you heard some of his staff members preach lately? The bald guy, remember? Yeah. I'd say, as far as I can best tell, in the various Sunday school classes that your young people go to at Southwest Baptist Church, they're hearing awful good preaching. Yeah. Uh-huh. Good music. Let's just call it God-honoring music, amen? Oh, I know you think it's just in the church sanctuary. No. All throughout the church, every Sunday school has the same God-honoring music. They're not down in the youth department jigging it up. Nope. If it's the same music that you're hearing upstairs in the auditorium, all throughout the church. Isn't that wonderful? That's called consistency. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you, Pastor Davidson. You know, to leave the pastorate, you just couldn't leave the pastorate. As many of our professors have, and myself, and just go sit under anybody. That was a big question. But it seems to be nothing but a joy to me. And from what I can tell from the other
pastors who have left the pastorate and are now teaching at Heartland to sit under Pastor Davison. Thank you, Pastor. The third quote from this college president from an old path, old-fashioned college. He says, give every man the first 3 or 6 months as a probation period and constantly weed out the idle, the vain, the inefficient, or devoid of zeal. Let me explain that. Here at Heartland, a sluggard probably isn't going to like it much, to be honest with you. He's just not going to like it much. See, we believe idleness is very dangerous. Yeah. Just a couple days ago, at 8:30, every student showed up here in the gym in work clothes. It's called work day prior to the graduation week. Andy, you remember it? Everybody comes. It's great to see graduates come back. All the students showed up here at 8:30, and they were divided up into groups. And I love seeing this. I wasn't able to come to this session. I was needing to stay in the office, but I stood up and I looked out the window about 15 minutes till 9, and you could see the students coming out of the gym for the work day, cleaning up the campus, working, not being idle. See, classes are over, per se, and then they did some work. This is another good quote. I believe Brother Sam will like this one. I'm going to read it very carefully. This college president says this about his college and a recommendation. He says, don't embarrass the college president with a lot of committee meetings. Don't embarrass the president with a lot of committee meetings. Can I just be honest with you? Just to kind of let you have maybe a different picture than you might have had about Heartland. The president's relationship, Brother Davison's relationship with the board of directors is a great one. I don't want to say it's just good. I want to just say it's a great relationship. I watch it. I observe it. I can tell you that. He places himself in the place of accountability to these men, and then they allow him to be the president who actually leads and directs the school. That's what a president does, amen? He's not a figurehead. He's not a figurehead president. He is a hands-on president. Sometimes those hands are right here. No, that's not true. He's a hands-on president. Next quote. Let the tutors be brethren to the men, not lords. I like that, don't you? Let the tutors, let the teachers be brethren, not lords. We're not lording over any student here. We're trying to teach them. I like that. Here's a common statement coming from Kevin O'Brien. I heard this from him. He was referring to a quote from a couple of the students in his church. This is the quote, as best as I can remember it, Brother Kevin. This is what he said. He said, my young people tell me that Brother so-and-so is always approachable. We like that, don't we? We like that our students feel, at least as best as we can tell, according to that quote, that the students feel like they can approach us. Two more quotes. I'll be quick here. Call in the pastors. Call in the missionaries and successful workers to talk to the men and tell them about their experiences. Sounds like chapel, doesn't it? Sure, when over literally twice a week, and if you take that and look at it into a semester view, close to 60 times per year, pastors and missionaries and workers come in and preach to the college young people. Isn't that good? If you came to the youth conference, /college days last time, you would have gotten preaching 9 times, amen? You would have had some fun, yes, we had that, but you had some preaching, amen? You're getting some preaching today, amen? This week, really, you should say that.
How about this? Last quote. Keep the men to outdoor preaching and encourage them to be winning souls while students. I don't know if they're here, but I could ask a young man named Danny, a Heartland student, and a young man named Donnie, another Heartland student, that are here because a Heartland student that worked with them led them to the Lord, and then they surrendered to ministry. Street preaching, we do it. Visitation, operation, saturation, a ministry, friends from Heartland as we go out and with Southwest and travel to churches that we can help. Visitation, door knocking. Yeah, that's what the president said. Of that old-fashioned college, he was making suggestions. None of you graduated from this college. I'm very confident of it. Because that was Charles Haddon Spurgeon in 1865. Talking about the pastor's college. That's a good old path school, amen. Listen to the words of Winston Churchill. Apparently, he was reflecting while he was saying this upon his own leadership during World War II. He says this, "There is a special moment when a person is figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing." I think of the call into ministry right there. Unique to him, fitted to his God-given talent. What a tragedy. What a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared or unqualified for that work which would have been possibly his finest hour. This thought lends support to the premise of my message. This message is going to deal with the preparing and the cost of preparing young men and women to walk on the old paths for what may well be, by eternity standards, possibly their finest hour. It does cost money to prepare young people for ministry. You can't get around that. I want to look back into Matthew chapter 5 just very quickly. We all know that here we have the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And Christ, seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and He taught them. Soon after Christ appointed the 12, it was obvious that they still needed to be taught. They still needed to be trained. They all had their shortcomings and their weaknesses. There was not a lot of time to train these regular guys for this special task. Christ really didn't have a lot of time. Somewhere around 18 months, over half already of His earthly ministry has already been spent. It's kind of like there was 18 months or like 72 weeks left, if you would, or kind of like six straight back-to-back semesters, or like 3 or so years with summer breaks worked in there. We don't have these young people for a long time. We don't have a lot of time to train these regular young people for a special task. It's really not a long time. We're really short on time. One thing is for sure, that the task of training these disciples, the task of training Heartland Baptist Bible College students is huge. Their calling was real, and time is very short and limited. These men were rough, and more than likely they were a little bit undisciplined. But all this seemed to be overshadowed by their mere potential. If you would just imagine for your own sake, imagine the potential amongst the student body here at Heartland. You could just see potential, couldn't you? Just a sampling of it. I'd like the young men that I've contacted to quickly come and to find their place behind me. As you see these young men come to this platform, I hope you start to see some potential. Some potential for entering into full-time ministry. These disciples left their vocations. They left their nets. They left their fields. They left their tax tables. They had relinquished everything they knew. Why? Why would someone do that? Why would the disciples leave all of those things behind? Why would they do it? Because they wanted to be trained for something for which they had no natural aptitude. They responded to the call and they felt the leading to be trained for a very special task. And they just realized, we don't have a lot of time. We better go get trained. Yeah, please note that when they forsook their jobs, they by no means became idle. They became very busy. Training to be full-time disciples is not an idle task. Coming to Heartland Baptist Bible College does not mean that it's going to start easy street for you. It's the beginning of ministry. These young men have not been idle. I promise you that. They became disciples, kind of like full-time students or learners, surrendering to the Master's call, desiring to serve Him with everything they had. In the next 18 months, their lives would be filled even with more intensive training, kind of like intensive seminary. Then they had the example of Christ Himself, the Master Teacher, perpetually before them. They could listen to His teaching. They could ask Him questions. They could watch how He dealt with people. They could enjoy intimate fellowship with their teacher in different kinds of settings. There's something about being able to be in a classroom, being able to go to a teacher, being able to sit down at a coffee shop, in a cafeteria, go out on visitation with a teacher and just get to know them. Something about it. Christ, the Master Teacher, was approachable. He gave them ministry opportunities. He instructed them. He sent them out on special assignments. He encouraged them in a gracious way. He corrected them in love. He patiently instructed them. I believe that there's a great lesson here. It's this. The best learning always occurs when information is not just passed on, but when one life is invested into another's life. Teaching has its difficulties. It really does. The disciples, they could sometimes be amazingly thick-headed. We've got some. A little sampling. So how did Jesus remedy the lack of spiritual understanding, their thick-headedness? How would Christ remedy this thick-headedness? You think you might just hear the story where He reached down and whacked them. No, you know what He did? He just kept on being persistent and teaching them. Teaching them and teaching them. He didn't try a new method. He did not ask them what they think He should do. He didn't go around and say, students, what do you think we ought to teach you today? No. We don't do that here either. No. We don't even look at a teacher and say, what do you think? We look at the Bible. It's a Bible-centered curriculum. Amen. That means the Bible's at the center of the teaching. That's it. I just want you to see it. He just kept teaching. Then, like the disciples, which lacked humility, sometimes our students lack humility. Just a little sampling. No, these are humble guys. How did Jesus overcome their lack of humility? You think He reached down there and whacked them again? Reached up there and pinched their ear? No. He was an example to them. By being an example of humility to them, remember, He washed their feet. He modeled servanthood. Have you noticed some of the humility in some of our faculty? The servant spirit in our president. Another challenge in teaching the disciples is that they lacked understanding, humility, but also faith. Four times the Gospel of Matthew alone, Jesus says, O ye of little faith. They lacked commitment. While the crowds were cheering and the miracles were being multiplied, they were thrilled. But as soon as the soldiers came into the garden to arrest Christ, they all, what? Forsook Him and fled. Mark 14:50. At this point, we're inclined to look at this group with all their weakness and wonder this. Why didn't Jesus just pick another group of guys? Why didn't He just, kind of put them to the side and say, now you guys don't qualify. We'll just pick this group. No. Why? Christ saw that this group of men could compound their efforts. Compound their interests. And as a result, accomplish the Father's will instead of seeking individual recognition. Christ saw that this group of men could compound their efforts, compounding their efforts, like compounding interests. And as a result, accomplish the Father's will instead of seeking any type of individual recognition. The Apostle Paul teaches us something about compound interests as well. You read it in 1 Corinthians 16 with me. Let's just kind of call this concept compounding interest, compounding efforts. As in people with different, maybe some differences in terms of where they're from, but compounding, bringing together, like pooling their efforts together. People that have common interests, bringing it together, we might call it this, teamwork. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 talks a little bit about it. Paul was a team worker. He worked on a team. Though he was an apostle, he was an apostle and was privileged to receive great revelations from God Almighty. He worked closely. As a matter of fact, he always worked closely with other Christian co-workers. And whatever he did it with someone else working alongside him. He was not an ecclesiastical superstar. No, not Paul. Paul was concerned that Timothy might be ignored or mistreated in our passage. Paul admonished the Corinthians not to give Timothy any cause to be afraid. Timothy was God's servant and a trusted and respected fellow co-worker of Paul's. Paul said, "He is doing the work of the Lord as I am." In the book of Acts, we find Paul basically bringing us through this situation where we find this often in the Scripture. We read, Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Silas. Paul and Barnabas. Teamwork. That was a team. Paul and Silas. They were partnering together. Paul and Luke. Joint ministry, if you would. Paul and someone else, Paul and Mark, teamwork. Paul and Timothy, team player. Paul was involved in a joint ministry. In this book, you can see it. Paul was a team player. He was an apostle, a very special man, a leader amongst Christian workers. But yet you find him bringing other men right up beside him. Can you believe partnering with the apostle Paul? That'd be awesome. It'd be awesome to be able to partner with some of you men, for some of these young men to go out, some of the graduates to go out into partnership. We had over 48 pastors either call or come in and visit this year wanting to hire a Heartland graduate. We've got a problem. We can't fill all the requests. Isn't that awesome? But yet it isn't. Because you guys need some staff, don't you? That's why you asked. I don't mean to be silly. Young men on Old Path has a beautiful ring, doesn't it? Amen? Can I say this? It has a great picture. Just a little sampling. Don't they look good, amen? Sharp, like young men. Young men on the Old Path look sharp, don't they? They got good haircuts, Brother Jason. Amen. Sure, absolutely. It looks good. We've got some sharp-looking ladies here. You know what young men on the old paths need? Young ladies on the old path. Amen. Absolutely. I think you guys, some of you need it more than you know. Amen. Get on with it, brother. Where's Jennifer? Oh, I'll leave her alone. It's kind of a good picture, isn't it? Come on. Isn't it a good picture? You know, it's not a pretty picture. Old men not on the right path. It's not a pretty picture. Preachers, respectfully so, it's not a good-looking picture when you get off the path. No, I can say it this way. It's kind of, in some ways, when you look at an older man trying to pretend like he's on the new path, it's kind of ugly-looking. In some cases, it's kind of silly, too, to be honest with you. It's just silly sometimes. It's not a good picture. These young men are looking at your picture. That's what they're looking at. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we want them to look at your picture. You're helping us train them every time you come to this college. Absolutely. Every time you preach, you, preacher, are participating in the training. Absolutely. Absolutely. You funding this, you underwriting this, you sending your young people and your support, you're participating in this. You may not realize it, but we've been in a joint venture, amen? And it's been an adventure for many different ways. To see God have His hand on this college from the time that it moved from California for to what really has gone on in relatively a short period of time, I'd say it's been an adventure, Brother Ranch, amen? Absolutely. We as biblical fundamentalists, I don't just say fundamentalists, but biblical fundamentalists desperately need to recover our determination to be biblical. We basically need to recover our determination to refuse to comply with the world. We need to determine ourselves and be willing to defend what we believe the Bible is telling us, and the courage to defy false teaching out there. Young men, you need to have the courage and the determination. Unless we collectively awaken the current dangers that threaten our faith, our movement, and these young people, the adversary will attack. He will attack us not from outside, but he will attack from within. Within a movement, within a college, within a church that sends students, that sends support, we need to have our determination resolved to fight back and fight for biblical standards. We need an outburst of true faith and holy zeal for biblical truth. That's what we need. Be on guard. Did you hear me? Be on guard. Pastor Hardy says, be on guard. Don't meddle with them that are given to change. Stay away from them. That attack will come from within. In Romans, Paul's deepest and most theological letter, he devotes the last chapter to commending a long list of co-workers. Co-workers. He devotes the last chapter to commending a long list of co-workers, 24 individuals, to entire households in the work of the Lord, both as a believer and as a leader. Paul closely identified himself with other Christian co-workers. He was not ashamed to call the young and timid Timothy a minister of the Lord's work. Tomorrow evening after Brother Mitchell, Pastor Mitchell challenges all of us, but especially the graduates, And these graduates walk across the platform as best as we can determine, according to what we've set as standards. We will be presenting to you 98. Did you get that? 98. Young Timothys and young ladies who will be ready for you to receive. I want to make some application now. You're going to see the computer screen light up and you're going to see the overhead come down. Just ignore it. I want to make some application. Please watch me and listen to me. Paul acknowledged his dependence on the Lord and also his dependence on the fellow Christian co-workers. In no way did he think of himself as self-sufficient. That is also the case here at Heartland Baptist Bible College. We're involved in a joint ministry. We recognize our dependence upon the Lord and our dependence upon other Christian workers. We are in no way, did you get this? We are in no way self-sufficient. There's not a sugar daddy waiting here today. I'm just being honest with you. There's not a major corporation sitting around waiting to see what the goal is and say, well, I'll make up the difference. That's not here. It is as best as we can determine, it could be quite a miracle. And to be honest with you, don't think the school's going to shut down if we don't make the goal. Let me just say it this way. If God, who has started this college, wants it to continue, it will continue. Praise the Lord. Amen. Absolutely. It's good to have a goal. It gives all of us an opportunity to work in common with mutual interest, compounding it all together. We recognize the dependence upon you. Just as Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy, Paul and whoever had mutual interest and compounded their interest in perpetuating good old fashioned, good old path gospel proclamation and propagation. They compounded their interests together. Like we here at Heartland recognize that we can only accomplish the task of training young men and women by compounding our efforts with others who have the same interests. That's you. The title of my message, Compound Interest. Compound Interest. We're going to look at it in two ways. We're going to look at it spiritually. We're going to look at it financially. Compound interest. Definition of compound means to take two items, two pieces, if you would, to bring them together, forming what you might call one. Bringing together interests, your thoughts, your objectives. Like compound interest in your bank account. You put $1,000 in the bank account, you let it sit there, it gets interest, and you leave it in there. That first $1,000, the capital, and you allow the interest to stay in there, and you do not take it out, and therefore it compounds the next period. Compound interest. I want to talk to you this morning about investing. Investing for retirement. Just a way to look at it in the way of presentation. I want to talk to you about investing. And simply put you in this mindset, when you think about retirement, you're kind of like this. I hope you are. You could be in trouble one day if you're not. You have so much money available to you right now. That's your bank account. And you desire, do you not, to have that available when you retire. Amen? Are you with me? Come on now. You want it there. You have maybe $20,000 in the bank. And if you're smart, you'll say, I want to have that $20,000 when I retire. Because when you retire, your wage earning ability diminishes. You're out of work. And you got to live. And you know the government isn't going to take care of you. Amen? They're not supposed to. Amen? You're supposed to take care of it yourself. Amen? Sure. Yeah. You want to have what you have now and then more so that you can enjoy the potential lifestyle that you have now later. So let's look at what I'm going to entitle as investing through mutual funds. how mutual funds work, how to invest for your future in mutual funds. That's just the simple title to the slide. We'll be very quick. This will all make sense in a moment. Here's how the mutual fund concept works. It's like a lot of individuals come together. They pull together their money. These individuals don't have the same amount of money. That's very important to note. It's not like they're all millionaires. There's a couple of millionaires, a couple of wealthy guys in this photo, but not all of them. Some of them are like you and I, non-millionaires, working people. They're individuals. They come together from all over the country, and they're going to pool their money together because they have a common goal. They want to have more money. That's why you invest in a mutual fund. You want to have what you have now, and you want to have more of it when you can't earn it anymore. You want to have what you have right now, and you want to have more of it because when you get to be retirement age, you can't do much about it then. It's too late. Time is short in this illustration. They pool together their money. They give it to a mutual fund company. Just a company that forms a mutual fund company. This mutual fund company goes out and buys stock in individual companies. They go out and buy stock in GM, General Motors. They go out and analyze the company. They go out and monitor the company. These men that work at this mutual fund company have worked at GM and other corporations before. They've been presidents of corporations before. They know how GM makes a lot of money. They've done this before. But now they're working at an investment company where people send their monies to pool their efforts together, to invest in the future. They go out and buy IBM, just another company, little small computer company here in this country. RCA, Sears, Sony, ITT, they just go out and buy stocks, stock certificates, little pieces of a company. Because they're doing it together with a bunch of people, they can actually do it what you call at a discount rate. Yeah. Because they've brought everything together. You see, if one of these guys, like up there on the left, just went out and bought a piece of GM and a piece of IBM, piece of Sony GT, he's going to have to pay a broker fee every stinking time. You don't want to do that, amen? Some of you aren't getting this. I'm enjoying it, I'll tell you that much. Home Depot. New gold. Some of you just might want to invest in gold. Some of you may say, I don't want to be in the technology or the automobile industry or the building industry, but I like gold. So you go out and buy some gold. Yeah. Silver. You buy silver. Walmart. Boy, don't you wish you purchased in Walmart. BMW. You'll do some international investing. You don't even have to go overseas to check it out. The guy at the mutual fund company is checking it out for you. He's doing the work for you. Why? So you can keep on working back at your job, earning money to send to the mutual company so that you can retire. Let them do the investing for you. That's how a mutual fund works. You got it? If you do, say amen and I'll go on. Good. Oh yeah, Nissan, you can do some more investing there internationally. That's how to invest in the future, your future, for retirement. How about this? See if you're interested in this investment program. How to invest in the future of fundamentalism. Through Heartland. Through Heartland. See, the same principle. The way you have $20,000 now, you have that now, and if you're just filled with a little bit of common sense, you want to have that later. And you want to have more. See, because when it's later, you can't do much about making more money, what you got now. It's the same principle. If you guys, if we are enjoying young men on the old path, and if you're enjoying this training institution, you have the ability right now to invest in it. Because for some of us, and for some of the churches, when we get down to later, and if you want to have these young men around and beside you and on staff with you, you've got to do something about it now. Because if you want to have this, if you want to have what you're experiencing this week, we've got to work on it now. This is the present. We are scripting the future right now. It's an investment of fundamentalism. It's not about Heartland making its goal. It's about investing for the future. Are you getting it? Whew, thank you. Here you go. See the 12 individuals? 12 churches. With mutual interests. Goals. What are they doing? Compounding. Compounding their interests. You getting it, Brother Rocky? Compounding their interests. That's where you get the principle, the title. Compound interest. Bringing together mutual funds. Pooling together monies. These churches, that's you guys. It's you guys. You send us these guys. Sure enough. You know, that's an investment. Sending your students here. You're investing them into the future of fundamentalism. That's what you're doing, Brother Dave. Sending them here, investing into fundamentalism. You also, hopefully, all of you, send money. Some of you send a tremendous amount of money. Some of you don't send a tremendous amount of money. Those that send a tremendous amount of money do so because they can and the Lord leads them to. Those that can't, don't because they can't. We don't have an attitude of, we can't believe you just send us that small amount. We don't have that attitude here. So instead of just saying thank you to this group and thank you to that group, let's just say it this way. We thank all of you. No matter how much you give. We appreciate the more participation every time. It seems that that's what the indicators are. This year especially, more participators. We thank you for that. You see, it costs a certain amount of money to educate a student here. On average, approximate, it varies. We got different types of students, part-time, off-campus, on-campus. But when I do just a quick analysis, about $9,000 to educate a student. 1 year. Relatively affordable. Relatively inexpensive. Not one student pays that $9,000. Not one. Not one student pays that. They'll pay about $5,300. Many pay less than that because we allow them to choose various meal plans. If they're not a 3-meal plan guy a day, we let them take the 2-meal plan. So instead of charging them for everything, charging them for food that they don't eat, we don't charge them. We think that's fair. Amen? Sure. About $5,300, about $9,000 to do it. The difference? Guess who pays for it? You do. Hey, how about this? Brother Copes, do you guys have any scholarships at Heartland? I mean, I look at the literature and doesn't seem to be a lot of scholarships there. Actually, with all the kindness, when I can answer this question, I love to get asked this question. No. We do have scholarships. Everybody gets scholarship at Heartland. Everybody. Where's the application for that scholarship form? You just come and get accepted to the school and you get it applied to you. Amen. Churches through May offering. Regular giving, very important. So some of the churches give, some of them only give sparingly for whatever reason. And then some of the other churches, they give very generously, make up for those, just like in Scripture, make up. Yeah, everybody gives a little bit of money. And before you know it, you pool it all together. There you go. Isn't that neat? You know this, watch, this is what it's like to collect the May offering. Watch this. That's what it's like. You want to see it again? Here's what's going to happen about 15 minutes when we collect the offering. That's what's going to happen. If you don't follow instructions. If you follow instructions, it's just going to drop right in there. Amen? Oh, boy. Look at this. Heartland. The training institution. They send out somebody. Yeah. Here. Look at that. One of them goes out as an individual to, hey, guess what? To go work for you. You need some support, don't you? I almost fell upstairs. You need some support, don't you? Some of you need some support staff. To get some support staff, you need to help us train the support. staff through what? Support. See how these words work together nicely? Support. I was almost a poet and I didn't know it. Brother Gaddis. Some of them go out and just be individuals and go on staff. Some of them, they go out and start churches. Yeah. Here's another guy. Another young man on the old path guy. Looks pretty good. You can tell he's a man, can't you? Like that. Church, yeah. Here. Let me kind of illustrate some of this. Let me give you... You know, I invest in Fidelity Investment Company, a discount brokerage. You know what they do every month? They send me a quarterly statement. You know what that quarterly statement is? A review. It's kind of an opportunity for me to look at my investment and check it out. See how it's doing. See if I need to make any corrections, adjustments. See if I need to put more money in there because things seem to be doing pretty good. Good return. My investments are looking good. I want to give you a little sampling of some of your investments. Go ahead and stand up, guys. Let's just proceed through our illustration. These young men, follow the lead here. Do as I told you to do. Someone's not following instructions. Here we go. We got Phil Leidick. Comes from Montana. His dad sends him, and his dad sends him as an investment. And then his dad sends money. So Phil's now graduating, and he's going to go to Washington. Go, Phil. Ben, from New York, from Dan Smith's church. He's been sent here by Dan Smith and about 9 or 10 or 11 other students, and money comes with him. Good support. And then Ben now leaves, and Ben's going to think about the master's program at Heartland. That's good. You're getting a little bit of sampling of your investment right now. This is called a quarterly review time. They're through the quarter of education. Check them out. Come on, David. Here's David Corley from Brother Turner's church. Preached a wonderful message last night. David is praying about what the Lord would have him to do. He's married now. It's kind of easier for him right now. There's David. The Lord will use him from Tampa, Florida, from Brother Turner's church. James Merlo comes all the way from Argentina, and he comes, and he's now being trained and now graduating. Got married, and the Lord is using him in many ways. All the way from Argentina. A little bit of, watch this, a little bit of international investment right there. Absolutely. And you didn't have to go to Argentina. You didn't have to go to Japan to invest in Nissan. You didn't have to go there. He is sent here by his pastor, and support is sent, and we get to train them. We send them out. Now, would you look, turn around and look at where these young men are. They're back there with you, amongst you, soon to be sitting beside you, soon to be at your side. Can I just say this, preacher? Their training isn't done yet. You now have some on-the-job training. Amen, Pastor? Sure. Here's Bruce. Students, Bruce. Here you go. Bruce. He's on the high end of 40-ish. God called him in El Paso, Texas when he was a young man. Bruce didn't respond like he should have. Bruce took some hard hits. Grew up with Pastor Bill Mitchell. Lord gets a hold of Bruce Crump's life. Brother Mitchell comes up beside him, a pastor, and helps him. Does some training there back at the church. Brother Mitchell steps back and says, "This young man could use some other teaching, some other training. I'm going to send you, Bruce, to Heartland." You know what Pastor Mitchell has? He talks to other pastors, as he has said to me, I quote him myself, when he says, when people ask him, "Brother Mitchell, what about Heartland? You've been there a lot." Bill Mitchell says this, I quote, "If you want a servant, send them to Heartland." We like that, don't you? He also says this, "If you want a preacher, send them to Heartland." So now Bruce Crump, a man who served in the fire department for El Paso, is now going to Tampa, Florida. God bless you, Bruce. Here's Carlos Serrano. Carlos had a burden while he was here, sent from Brother Larry Obero's church in San Diego. Carlos wanted to start a street preaching ministry. Not an easy ministry to start. Carlos, thanks for starting that ministry here at Heartland. God bless you. Young man going back to San Diego. Yeah, there's some of your investments. Here's Adam Rivera. Instead of going international, Adam just married one of our foreign students. Lovely gal. He's from Bruce Turner's church too. I love Adam. No. Watch how much I love Adam. Adam is, in a sense, just one piece of stock. One stock certificate. If I decided to buy this piece of stock and invest everything I got into this piece of stock, am I messing it up? If I decided to invest this piece of stock into this piece of stock, everything I had in this piece of stock, and then if this piece of stock dropped when I came near retirement, it's not good. See, because I'm going to cash in my stock at retirement. I need this to be at highest performance. So if you could picture this piece of stock individually, all on its own, not involved in the mutual fund concept, but on its own. Picture it kind of like operating on half cylinders, like it's injured. In order to illustrate this, I'm going to injure Adam. Okay? I'm going to punch Adam in the stomach. And he's going to lean over and he's going to be hurt. Are you ready? We don't have time for practice. I'm going to hurt Adam in the stomach, and I love Adam. He's going to represent a single stock that you invested in that falls down. Man, I enjoyed that so much. Let's do it again. Adam's bent over. Now he goes. Probably down the wrong path. Probably down the wrong path. I invested in that single stock. I lost some money right there. I lost some money right there. See, but when you invest in a mutual fund, the principle of diversification, also, you know it this way, don't put all your eggs in one basket, is applied. Paul Cooper comes from Burleson, Texas. He's going back to Burleson real quick here in a few days for an internship, soon to be a missionary to Russia. Isn't that good? Yeah. You know what? Instead of waiting for Paul and Lisa Cooper to come by on debutation, and then you get to invest in international investments, you got to invest in Russia if you've been supporting Heartland for the last 4 years. Isn't that a blessing? So you got in early. You got to see compound, a compound, and a compound your interest, your investments for fundamentalism. Got the Reasoner boys here. Yeah. Can't wait to see them walk the line. Amen. Yeah. MK's from Russia. Sure enough. Billy. Billy's from Armstrong. Billy's from Armstrong. Boy, I need to finish this up. Billy Armstrong outside of Chicago. Brother Billy's going to El Reno to work with Steve Osteen, his youth pastor. Good young man. Yeah, Nathan Schultz. Nathan's from Nebraska. He's a lighted guy, that's for sure. Nathan's going to Colorado to work with Cliff Miser. Yeah. We like our students going out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Josh. Josh here from Lakewood, Washington. Brother Fountain's church. Brother Fountain's been sending students, sending money. Josh is now going to travel with Glory Bond for the rest of the summer. See what the Lord leads him to do. God bless you, Josh. Lyndon Pearson comes from Ohio, introduced to us through Brother Kevin Folger. Now, Brother Lyndon is graduating. He's looking for a wife right now. No, he's not. He just asked me to say that. And then he's potentially going to go to the grad school here. God bless you, Lyndon. John Steele, South Georgia, from Pastor Dan Eaton's church. Humanly speaking, it's amazing John's here. I'll just be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I don't mean that funny at all. It's an absolute wonderful story to see young men like this come from situations that John's come from. And to see the Lord do through your investment, to see the final product. But in reality, we're done training them. Now you're going to train them. Yeah. So here we have it. concept works a lot like a mutual fund. Yes, sir. Almost done. So, I want to talk to you now very quickly about the May offering. Men, go ahead and be seated. How important is the support from churches? Let's look at these figures. 16% monthly support and special offerings. That means this. We have a budget a little bit over $3 million, about $3.1 million this year, just to operate the size of this college. But 16% of it is income from churches on a regular basis through monthly support and special offerings. Church, the May offering. May offering from you guys, from the churches. 24%. Almost a quarter of the money it costs to run, to operate, to train these young men and women comes from this offering. Today. Today. Student income. Oh, how important is it? See how that bounced in there real nice? How important is all of the church support? 40%. 40% to operate the school comes from churches. Your regular support and also your May. Students. There we go. 47%. Student here pays less than half of the cost to educate them. Students, can I say this? You haven't been on a free ride. You know what you've been on? The deferred payment plan. Yeah. Yeah. See, now that you're going to be out there, you know, we're teaching you something here for the future. If you realize it, if you can figure this out, we're hoping, expecting, thinking, you ought to contribute back here. See, you're not on the free ride, you're on the deferred payment plan. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. That's a quote from Frank Wood. If you don't like it, blame him. 13% other income. That's how important this offering and your monthly support is. So what are we doing now, this summer? Young men on the old path, real quick, go through the list. $700,000. We've got it broken down up into building, renovation. We're going to take the Art Wilson Hall, and we want to renovate that. Amen? It's a great boys' dorm, but we want to renovate it. Some great young men are in there. Technology, we're going to start to develop more of the campus infrastructure in terms of the networking. And then a van, 2%, $15,000. Summer operations, basically, just to start the various projects, and then also during a low-income period, summertime, when the students aren't here, student income isn't coming in, we need support now to continue on at the level and approach the summer in a very aggressive way with the projects, because we have less than 8 weeks when the time students leave, this meeting ends, get in vacations, and then when you look at July 4th weekend, and then when you look at August the 1st, we're getting ready for next semester, we've got less than 8 weeks to get everything done. We need to get going on it. And also, that support helps us avoid getting a line of credit. And that's a blessing, amen? 19% towards the library. We want to do some renovation there and develop more research ability in there. 14% long-term debt. Here it is, real simple. Real simple. In a few moments, we're going to be preparing for the offering. I'm going to ask the executive committee members and any of the directors that they've asked to get up at this time. Please, men, get up at this time and prepare. These men are going to go to their tables. As soon as they get to their tables, please listen to me closely. They're going to be prepared that if you haven't given, if you haven't committed, or you have checks that you want to give, each director is responsible for his state and his region. So please, please, in a few moments, you're going to get an opportunity to go and contribute more. Now listen to me closely, please. Some of you might be here this morning and you might be thinking this. I committed X, but maybe the Lord is doing something in your heart now. And you're thinking this. The Lord's leading me to give additional giving. And you say, well, I'll go home. I'll be honest with you. If you go home and you try to make that commitment later, there's a high likelihood you might forget about it. We want you to consider giving more if the Lord is in it. So in this building, we have green cards that the directors have. And if you need some, we'll come and give them to you. But they're additional commitments. All right? If you haven't made any commitment at all, In a few moments, we're going to give you a chance while Brother Dale Leeser will be playing an offertory, be playing some music for us, for you to get up and to go. It will be okay for you to get up and to go to the tables. And then the directors will make reconciliation with the input that you're giving them and what you've already given them. Okay? So Brother Dale, if we'll get ready for that, or Brother Joe, we're going to have Brother Sam come. Brother Ford, if you'll get everything ready here. And the computer people, if you stand up, if Brother Sam decides to open this up from the floor, if you stand up, please state your name and state if you want to give additional money. And then please go to the table so that we can make proper record of it. It's very, very important for us. I think we're ready. Okay, we've got the regions right over here. We've got Brother Goodrich's region. I can't read well. Northwest Individuals is the second region. Brother Dave Brown is there. If you're an individual, you're not with a church, maybe you're a missionary or something like that, you want to give individually, that's the section. East Region, Brother Dan Smith, Brother Stevens from Quebec, and then Brother Folger for the Northwest Region. And then we've got over here Brother Thrift for Southeast, Southwest, Brother Randolph, Brother Stevens is there as well. And then Northwest is over on this side, Brother Dennis Fountain, Brother Abels, there you go, and Brother Webster for South. Central section. So if you need to do that, Joe, you, Dale, you go ahead and start playing. We'll get ready. You go to your tables if you need to communicate your offering, either for the first time or additional commitment. Go ahead, Brother Dale.